and welcome to the Financial Fox, finance, investment, and crypto with a twist. I'm your host, Steffi B. I'm the founder of PR company Cassiopeia Services, and every week I bring to you my favorite conversation with investment experts, market disruptors, movers and shakers, and the coolest project in crypto. So everyone is talking about the metaverse and brands are coming to the table. Every day there is a new company that is joining the space and they are looking at different kind of use cases, new experience to offer to the clients, new product, and it's all very, very exciting. So what I have decided today is to bring you a conversation I had with Andrew Kewell, CEO of Tokens.com, a Canadian listed company that is investing in revenue generating crypto assets. So what they have done, they bought one of the largest digital land in Decentraland, and also they are partnering with Decentraland to host the coolest fashion show in March, which I'm really looking forward to see and to participate. So Andrew is going to talk about, obviously, the plans for his company, but also the challenges and the opportunity that he's seeing in the metaverse, our digital universe, where we have the opportunity to not only shop, socialize, but also create and earn, which is the main things. And he also comments about regulation and the importance of reporting being a listed company. So I hope that you enjoy the interview. But before that, remember that I'm not a financial advisor, so any content here is for informational purposes only. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. It's so great to have you on the show to talk about Metaverse and all the amazing projects that you have planned for this year.
Thank you.
So shall we maybe start with you giving a bit of background about yourself and also about your company as well?
Sure. So my career started as an investment banker, and I spent a lot of time. I did that for 2 decades, 20 years. My job was primarily to look at various products and companies and figure out ways to give public market investors exposure to those companies. Back in 2017, I realized that there wasn't really a way for public market investors to get exposure to Bitcoin. And that's what really got me going down the avenue of crypto and blockchain. And so the regulations at the time didn't permit things like funds or ETFs. So the idea that we had was to create a Bitcoin mining company that held all of its Bitcoin and take that public. And by virtue of that company holding its Bitcoin, that would give that public market investor exposure. So fast forward, we created a company called Hut 8. Today, Hut 8 trades on the NASDAQ. It's a several billion dollar business, one of the largest Bitcoin miners in the world. But about a year and a half ago, I started looking at that stuff, and there were other ways to get exposure to Bitcoin by the time, you know, the year 2000 hit. There were funds, there were ETFs, there was lots of miners. When we created Hut 8, we were the first ones to be doing that. But today, there's many companies doing it. So I started thinking, what are other interesting things that public market investors would want to get exposure to that we can make easy for them? And we started thinking about things like DeFi and NFTs and the metaverse. And so we created Tokens.com as a public company that invests into what I would call next generation crypto, all the things that I mentioned, and give that to public market investors as a way for them to invest very easily. And so our investors are people like large institutions who say, we really want to get exposure here. We can't do it ourselves. We don't know how to report it. We don't know how to secure it or even what to buy. Family offices, high net worth retail are all people who make up our investor base because they want to get exposure to this, but they want to do it in a very simple way with people that they trust as a public company.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk a bit more about being a public company, because I mean, in different jurisdictions, you see kind of different challenges. Obviously, I'm in the UK and I see that is not like an easy place where you can explore, for example, DeFi or NFTs, and the FCA is very tight and scrutinizing everything. How do, what's your experience in Canada with your company?
Yeah, so regulation is absolutely necessary, and we are supportive of that as long as it's not over-regulating, because that can lead to some unintended consequences. You know, our experience has been very good. We do not offer products to individuals, so tokens.com does not have customers. We don't have clients per se. We raise capital from investors that have already gone through their broker, so they've already gone through anti-money laundering, know your client rules, and all the regulatory through your broker. We raise capital there into our business, and then we go through a, you know, a rigorous due diligence process in terms of what to invest in. And so if you were to think about us, we're almost like a merchant bank investing into these areas on behalf of public market shareholders. But we don't offer anything to individuals, which is, I think, where the regulators are much more focused.
Okay, so basically you would say that your investors are mainly institutions, and then the retail, they have got the opportunity to get exposure to what you're doing just buying shares.
That's right. And we provide liquidity too, and we provide security. So I'll tell you a few things. Reporting in crypto, if you were to do this yourself, is very complicated. Like, how do you report this for taxes? How do you know what to buy? How do you secure it? These are all the problems I think we solve for various groups of investors by doing that as a public company, where you can just buy it alongside your other things in your stock market portfolio.
It is interesting that you have been moving from crypto mining. Was that only Bitcoin mining, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so to be from Bitcoin mining to something like metaverse, NFTs. So I would like to understand why, and specifically, what returns do you think into, are you thinking to bring to shareholder? How many X amount of returns bet right on this type of the crypto industry?
Right. Well, I'll tell you why I made the pivot from crypto mining. Crypto mining is a necessary thing in mining Bitcoin, but it uses a lot of electricity and a lot of hardware. And so when I started thinking about the type of business I wanted to run something that was environmentally friendly, that didn't use up so much electricity, because there's a lot of criticism around the electricity use there. The other thing with Bitcoin is, and while I really like Bitcoin and I own Bitcoin, there's not much of a use case for it outside of a storage of value today. And so developers have been working on it in many ways to try and find some additional utility from it. But really, Ethereum and the other things that have been developed in crypto have really surpassed Bitcoin as a way to get utility. And so it's not as big of a pivot. When you think about the metaverse is built on crypto technology today. When you think about decentralized finance and non-fungible tokens, NFTs, which are exploding in popularity, this is all built on crypto technology, but it's the next iteration of Bitcoin. And so while Bitcoin definitely has a role, I started looking into the future and saying, where's the utility? Like, where are all the amazing things being developed, like gaming, social media platforms, metaverse, music and art? All of those things are happening, I think, outside of Bitcoin in an area that's been termed Web3.
Okay, that's very interesting. So, I mean, if we go back to the project that you are launching in the metaverse, let's maybe start to list them, and then we can get a little bit more into the details on perhaps how you're going to get users, what is the user experience, how are you building them?
Sure. So the first thing that we did is, when we were looking at various assets to invest in, I got intrigued by metaverse real estate because it has a scarcity value. Some of the similar attributes to Bitcoin in that, you know, in Bitcoin, there's only 21 million ever available. But in the metaverses, especially the popular ones, the amount of land available is fixed. Okay. So the city doesn't grow. It's programmed to be a certain size. As more people congregate in these metaverses, the value of those parcels of land within them become more valuable. Think about it as advertising space. If you're a user, I don't know, do you use Facebook or Instagram?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, when you're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram, you're served ads. Imagine, and this is the kind of our thesis and thinking, imagine that you could invest and buy parcels of space in Facebook or Instagram 15 years ago as those platforms were being launched. That's what we're doing in the metaverse. We're saying, look, everybody is moving into the metaverse. This is the next iteration of social media, computing, shopping, advertising. By buying these parcels of land, we are essentially pre-purchasing space for future advertising, events, whatever we want to deem in that area. We have control of it and we're purchasing it today with anticipation of all these people congregating in these areas that we'll be able to utilize that space. So that's the thesis. It says we want to buy into the infrastructure, but we're really just buying advertising space for a growing area. We've looked at several different metaverses and we've invested across several of them. We got a lot of popularity recently because we did one of the largest metaverse land purchases in history, which was an area, an estate in Decentraland in the Fashion District.
Exactly.
And a lot of people were like, wow, you just spent $2.5 million to buy a parcel of virtual land that doesn't exist. And this is a very hard topic for a lot of people to understand that, you know, a lot of people, in order for something to have value, it has to have weight. It has to have something physical to it. That's the, you know, the generation that I grew up with. It needs to be physical to have value. But the younger generation has a whole different perspective on this. Something can have value even if it just exists digitally. And that is what is really happening here, is that we're buying these assets that only exist digitally. We bought this land for $2.5 million, but it has a lot of value and utility because it's large. It's in the Fashion District. Fashion is a big part of the metaverse. If you do Google, you see Gucci, Balenciaga, Nike, Adidas, Chanel. Every fashion brand in the world today is sitting around thinking about what their metaverse strategy is going to be this year. Every single fashion brand. We just bought the largest parcel in the Fashion District of the most popular metaverse on the planet. That has tremendous value. I'm not even sure. I think it's a priceless piece of property. And so what we're doing with that is we've teamed up with Decentraland, the actual government of this virtual world. And we're going to put on a massive fashion show that takes place over a 4-day period starting March 24th. And this is going to be runways with avatar models, merchandising, and concession stands, and after parties, and different things that are happening, right?
I'm so excited. So you have to tell me, how are you planning this? Because it's that March, isn't it? Okay, so it's not too far away. How are you planning the event?
Well, you will be able to create an avatar, which you will be able to go in, and there'll be an event schedule. So at certain times, you will have certain brands and retailers doing their fashion shows. There'll be after parties that you can try and get into. But the way we plan it is very much how you would plan a real fashion event, like London Fashion Week. You're corresponding with lots of very large global brands. We are working with designers and architects, and we are taking this land parcel, this estate that we have in the Fashion District, and we are building it. And it's very much the same way. You know, we want places for people to socialize. We want fashion tents. We want people to be able to shop there and browse various brands that are participating in the show. For you as a potential viewer of this, you'll be able to go in, create an avatar. Even a guest avatar will take you 2 minutes to create. You'll be able to go in there and click and go to the fashion show, and you'll be able to wander around there. You'll be able to meet people. So maybe you have some friends, you want to meet them there together. You'll be able to go there and maybe meet new people. And I'm going to say right now, I think this could end up being the most widely viewed live fashion event in history. And here's why. This has the potential to attract 500,000 to 1 million unique visitors over the course of the period that we're holding the show. If you think about that, the reach that a brand would have in displaying their merchandise through that is far more than what they might get by having something in London Fashion Week or New York Fashion Week, right?
I mean, definitely is that it gives people the opportunity to actually participate, because when you know, if you can go to any kind of fashion week, is pretty much a closed environment, closed doors. So only certain amount of people are able to see it. Otherwise, you have to see it, online. You don't have the opportunity to be in. So definitely it kind of, I agree, democratize fashion, giving everybody the opportunity to participate. But would there be any kind of like different experience? Because this is what crypto brings. It brings another way for fashion brand to engage with that community. So do you have anything that you are thinking or you are planning to do?
Well, I think everything being done is a different way to engage people. So there's going to be various fun things that are going on in and around the fashion shows. But if you are a fashion brand today, many of the younger generation, they don't have cable TV. They don't subscribe to Vogue magazine. And as you pointed out, if they don't live in London, they're not going to the London Fashion Week. And even if they live in London, they may not have access. What's exciting about this is a brand can introduce themselves to a whole new demographic, regardless of where they're located, anywhere in the world. So geography no longer matters. You can advertise to somebody who's in London, who's next to somebody who's in Toronto, who's next to somebody who's in Sydney, Australia. It doesn't matter. Geographic barriers are completely broken down for brands and advertisers. In terms of the people like you, you're going to have a massive curiosity factor. You're going to see some of your favorite brands are going to be holding shows. You're going to be curious, and you know, you may go on there and spend the time to be like, I want to go visit this and I want to see what this is all about. And that's a way of getting you into the metaverse to explore and see what it's all about.
So do you think that actually brands, they are embracing the metaverse? Do they really understand, first of all, the utility that this technology is bringing? And do they have a strategy? I mean, it looks like everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, but perhaps not everybody knows what he's doing.
Right. Well, I don't know. I can't speak for every brand that's out there. But what I can tell you is that the spending or the budget for this stuff is probably being allocated from the same budget that they were using for social media. And so if you think about how much money all corporations around the world spend on social media, it's that same spend that's going to be shifting over to the metaverse. And you can even see the tie into social media with Facebook doing the largest rebrand in history by converting their name to Meta and moving towards becoming a metaverse company. So to me, this is inevitable. A lot of the same thinking that would go into social media, and I gave you the analogy before that we're almost like pre-buying advertising space on social media. This is very similar, except it's going to be far more immersive because you can create a virtual storefront. You can create something that's more than just a two-dimensional ad that you can click on. This will be something where your avatar can actually engage in and shop right there on the spot.
I mean, the great things about digital avatars is that, particularly when we are thinking about fashion, is that you can really be who you want to be. You are not constrained by your body shapes, you know, your type of hair. You can actually create an avatar that is your ideal yourself, right? And then you have all the creativity, to dress the way you like. So that I think is amazing. Now, you mentioned early that you don't have customers. So when you are creating something in the metaverse, you are creating an event, you are offering stuff there, because that what is going to happen, you will have users. So how are you going to justify perhaps any kind of revenue that you are coming from that type of event, that feedback to token.com?
Right. So let me get a little more specific as to what I meant. So what we're doing in the metaverse right now is we're landlords. We are virtual landlords, and we work with people that want to host events on our property. So the fashion show is not actually being put on by tokens.com or our group. We're hosting it. We are the landlord. It's being held on our property. With respect to how, you know, and that's why I say we don't have clients. Like, we're not going to be dealing with the brands directly. We just know they're going to want to be there and they're going to work with our partners to create the space. What we do and where we specialize in is we want to work with clients who say, we would like to create some kind of a building. We can do sort of, you know, to some extent, we have our own architecture development and design area that we can help clients with. And we also have something that we're building called Tokens Tower in Crypto Valley, where people are coming to us to post advertisements in our building. So they know people will be walking around our building, and maybe you're a podcaster or a news media outlet, and this is a way for you to advertise. Maybe you are a fund or anybody else that would like to reach this demographic. We can provide an avenue for you to do that. What I meant by we don't have customers is we're not dealing with the retail individual who's looking to buy things individually. That's not what we do. But yes, but we can create revenue in the same way a landlord would by leasing out their space.
And that you won't create any issue being a Canadian listed company. If you are selling something to businesses, so okay, it's not a B2C, it's a B2B within the metaverse, but some revenue are going to come back to token.com, which are crypto revenue. Is that all fine?
Yeah, we haven't seen any issues with that. Like I said, we're in a sense, we're selling advertising space. We're not selling crypto. We're not partaking in that. We're being part of the infrastructure of what's happening in the metaverse.
Okay, listen, the other things that I wanted to discuss with you, I mean, we mentioned the metaverse a few times, and one of the discussion is metaverse is Web 3 or is Web 2? Because from the way that we have been talking, it looks like maybe a better version of Web 2, but it's still a Web 2 where brand from the top, they decide what users and customer can do within that environment. Yeah, so I would like to understand what you're thinking behind the metaverse evolution. Maybe that's just a state, a transitional state where it's still a Web 2 metaverse.
Yeah, so the first thing I would say, and I'm a person in the crypto space, that the definition of what Web 3 is still a little bit nebulous. It's out there and it's being defined. But the way I would look at the difference set, when I think about the metaverse, there are certainly some metaverses that I would consider Web 2, which is a user experience where you just go in and you play a game. And that might be something if you have children like Roblox or Minecraft, where the environment is determined for you and you can go in and there's spending opportunities to play within the game. But really, the person who decides or the people who decide what that experience is going to be is a corporation. Where I would distinguish that and say Web3 metaverses like Decentraland and Sandbox and Somnium Space are different is that you can buy these parcels of land and you determine what you're going to do with that property. You determine you can leave it empty, you can store it, you can resell it. It has a value immediately because there's a marketplace for these things. But ultimately, someone who buys a piece of land, we can decide to rent it out to other people, but someone else might say, we want to build an amusement park, or we want to build a casino, or maybe I just want to build something to display my NFTs. It's the power of bringing that back to the consumer where you're really aligning ownership with communication and all the things happening in the internet that I think evolve into making something Web 3. Whereas I think other metaverses or attempts at metaverses are more just like go in, play around, but that ownership aspect is missing.
Yeah, and I think interoperability here becomes as one of the main challenge, because ideally what you want is that like ability to bring stuff out from one space and back to another one. So they are like your own assets that you can own anywhere you go.
Correct. And you can contribute to the content. I can contribute to the building of a community as part of this, right? So think about it as I've often said, it's like going back and purchasing, you know, land in New York 250, 300 years ago. When people are first arriving, you're trying to determine what are the things that the community needs? Is it more music, more art, more shop? Everybody who's there that owns parcels of land is contributing the content of what that experience is going to feel like for people. And I think that's also a distinguishing factor that you won't get potentially with some of these other metaverses that have existed in the past, where the content is already created for you. You're just invited to join that environment.
Yeah, I think that's the main interesting aspect of what crypto is bringing to the table. Now, if we go back to fashion and we just expand a little bit more into NFTs, Dolce & Gabbana launched a very successful collection last year during the Venice Festival, and that was amazing, sold out straight away. And the utility was very simple. You buy that, you get the NFT, and then you can get some other advantage, like you can get the tailor-made dress, and you can participate in different kind of events with Dolce & Gabbana. So that's kind of like obviously an evolution of product, but how do you see the utility of NFTs evolving for fashion brand? I mean, it's a very interesting topic. Everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
So I really would like you to make a contribution to that.
Sure. So I think it's going to be bridging the world between the NFT world and the physical world. Like, how do you translate your NFT client that is now learning about Dolce & Gabbana into becoming a customer in the physical world? So I think that, bridging that gap is going to be an interesting one. I think another area that's going to be huge in the coming years is called, it's called where to earn. Okay. And have you heard that term before?
Where to earn? The new influencers. I think that is a very interesting concept that goes like a play to earn version of fashion.
Yes.
And at the same time, for me, it unlock a new way to see influences.
Right. And so I think there's going to be the gamification maybe of fashion, where if you're wearing certain things, I also think that there's going to be a huge marketplace as another sort of vision I see is a huge marketplace for the resale of these things. So, you know, you may have purchased something, an NFT from Dolce & Gabbana or Gucci. There's even Birkin bags floating around out there too. You can wear that bag and display it for social status. You can store it in your wallet, but you can also resell it. And you have perfect provenance, which is the verification of authenticity on the blockchain. So you'll be able to say, yes, this really did come from Adidas or from Gucci. And I think that's really important when you're talking about things in the blockchain space, because you can go to a virtual party and people can check and see, yeah, that's a real Gucci bag that they're wearing. Those are real, you know, Adidas runners that they're wearing as well. The ability to resell those is going to be, you know, a huge part of the commerce of the metaverse. And part of the appeal to all these new metaverses as well, and we were talking about what makes it Web 3 versus Web 2, is for these metaverses to create their own self-contained economies. They have their own currencies. They have their own, you know, way of interacting with people and being able to resell things. And having these self-contained, you know, along with the ownership comes this self-contained economy, I think makes it that much more interesting for people who are getting involved.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, let's fast forward 10 years, okay? So let's think about it. Obviously, the metaverse has evolved and more people are actually participating. There is digital fashion there. It's very successful. What is going to happen to the physical brand offering? How do you think perhaps a brand are going to change what they are offering in the physical world because of this explosion of digital fashion or e-commerce in the metaverse? Let's call it like that. We're not just talking about fashion.
Right. Well, I think it's going to be, how do you use the metaverse to bridge the gap we said before between the physical and the virtual? And we talked about it before. When you look at what's happening amongst the population in general, is television is in a decline. People are watching less and less television. Now, that's not being replaced necessarily with people going outdoors. It's being replaced with people going online and figuring out different things to do online, whether that's gaming or social media. But let's consider what have been the traditional ways for fashion to build their brand. Like, to somebody new, like I have kids. I have a 10-year-old daughter. How does she know that Chanel and Gucci are premium brands versus other brands? Like, she, you know, she's no longer reading Vogue or these things. She needs that. There's got to be a place where brands can display where they fit into the order of how people would want to use those brands. And I think that the metaverse is going to be able to bridge that gap for the brands to access the demographic of people that are not reading Vogue, that are not watching TV. This is the next iteration of social media, which is why I think there's such a close link to the way brands are advertising on social media is really going to be very tied to how they're advertising in the metaverse. So I'm not sure if that's clear, but I think in order for brands to continue to build their brands, like for us, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana are iconic brands, but how does a child growing up in the world of the metaverse know this if they're not watching TV or seeing this elsewhere?
They are knowing from the social media, the social interaction, and the metaverse becomes the next place. I mean, it will be interesting to see how the influencers model is going to change, because for the way I see it is that now there is the opportunity actually for people to become themselves the influencers. So the influencing models, you just switch back to the community rather than having a celebrity that perhaps doesn't even share the value of the brand, and she just put the stuff on because she get paid for it. I mean, it is a bit annoying as well. Sometimes you see your favorite brand, why she's actually advertising that?
It is
very exciting. Okay, so going back to token.com, what is going to be your strategy? I mean, you have got a few projects going on. Is there anything else that you have in the pipeline or kind of direction that you are taking the company over the next couple of years?
Yeah, our focus is definitely Web3 and the area of focus. So we do something called staking, which helps support the decentralized finance and NFT sectors. It's part of the infrastructure there. It's an environmentally friendly way to do crypto mining because we don't use electricity and we own a lot of the tokens and cryptocurrencies used for DeFi and NFTs. We're also going to be embarking on the play to earn area, which is the gamification in cryptocurrency. We think that's a really big space. We saw last year how popular games like Axie Infinity were, which really almost looks like a Pokemon type thing that you can play online. You pay to play, but once you're there and playing, you can actually earn tokens that can be resold for monetary value. And so we think that's going to be a growing area where you're going to see a migration of traditional gamers to gaming that occurs on the blockchain where they can actually earn monetary rewards. In fact, there are now thousands and thousands of people whose careers are playing these games where they can earn enough income to be very successful.
Yeah, definitely. Very interesting. It kind of democratized access to finance to many people. Now, I just want to leave you with this question. Just came to my mind. We talk about metaverse being the next place or the actual new place of social interaction. Who do you think is going to survive in this change of social media? I mean, we saw that Facebook obviously jump straight away there, but what about Twitter? What about the other social media? They are currently, they have got a market share nowadays. How do you think they're all going to, be part of the metaverse, or do you think somebody is maybe going to struggle?
Look, just like the onset of the internet, I think the companies that chose to embrace the internet and try to use it to their advantage ended up succeeding. I've often said, nobody owns the internet, but the majority of the largest public companies in the world are all linked to internet use. So very much in that way, I think when social media came onto the scene, people thought, is this just a fad? Is this going away? The companies that embraced this ended up being successful, and the ones that didn't ended up having to embrace it anyways. I think you're going to see the same thing happen in the metaverse, which is the same group of people that came up with the internet strategy, that came up with the social media strategy, are going to have to develop a metaverse strategy. And as I said before about fashion brands are all working on this strategy, I also believe every corporation in the world right now has got to be at least having the metaverse on their radar and considering how they're going to leverage this new technology, this new environment to help their businesses.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, I would like to see what Twitter is going to be doing. But yeah. let's see, that will be interesting. Okay, listen, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I look forward to see what you're doing with the Fashion Week. So you need to keep me updated because sure. You know, I would love to kind of check it out, definitely.
Yeah, no, that would be great for you to attend. And yeah, and for people who are more interested, our website is real easy, tokens.com. Where we keep up a lot of information and videos as to what we're doing in the metaverse and other parts of our business.
Amazing. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Okay. I hope that you enjoy the interview. And if you have any feedback, any comment, you can reach out to me at steffi@financialfox.news. I would love to hear from you. If you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, click the subscribe button and also subscribe to our podcast. And if you can, rate also us on Apple Podcasts, which will help more people to find the show. So until next time, I wish you a fantastic week. And don't forget to follow us on social media to stay up to date with our news and interviews.